Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes, better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the joint.
The Crab Feast, y'all. Another Tuesday.
Well, the Crab Feast for that ass. Good to tie your pitch touch, Jay Larson.
Neither of us wanted to.
That was not a winner.
We
right
tried.
There,
we tried so hard to like.
You hit that fucking low register on purpose out of there.
I just was like, how long can I keep it going?
Oh shit! Good to touch your second to last pitch. No.
Third to last.
Yeah. My math is off.
Either way, it's a great touch to be pitched, and great to be here with Feaster Nation. We are in December. We're getting close to the end. And
final three here, right?
Yep, final three, the top three. So excited to be with you guys. As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy, and all social media. If you don't follow me any of those places, Comedian Jay Larson, maybe on Facebook, go over there and give me a follow. So once we're gone from this feed, which won't be immediate, you know, you know where I'm at. And if you're in Los Angeles, Toasty is tonight. I've posted about it. It's out there. You can go get tickets. And then I'll just do in-town dates are coming up. But January 3rd through the 5th, I'm in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Grand Rapids, Michigan. Come out to see me there. And then the 31st of January through the 2nd, Groundhog's Day of January, I'll be at Magoobies out there in Maryland. So come out to those. I hope to see you guys out there, and I hope you follow me on social media and the new podcast so you can find out what new things I'll continue to keep doing. Sickle Sip!
Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. As I've told you week after week now here, my new album, Get a Hold of Yourself, is available now. For all of you who have helped me out already and bought it and listened and commented, I can't say thank you enough. You guys are... you're awesome, man. You really are, and I love you, and I appreciate you. And if you haven't gotten the album yet, get it on iTunes.
Get a hold of your fucking self.
Yeah, get a hold of my album. Get a hold of yourself. Get it on iTunes, Apple Music, Amazon, Google Play, Spotify, Pandora, Tidal. The label said, you guys are asking how you can help. You can create your own Ryan Sickler channels on Spotify and Pandora. And the best way to help me is make sure you're on Sirius streaming it there. So that's how you can do it. Also, throwing up that 5-star feast of review.
That's huge.
That is huge. You guys did it for the podcast, and you're out there doing it now for my album. And I can't thank you enough. Keep doing that. It's a huge help. And you guys are the shit. Enough of you purchased FTCF Tuesday and Hey Hey Playa shirt. So the campaign rolls on. For what? How much longer?
I mean, I don't know.
A couple weeks, I think it is. So you'd have a little more time to sneak in before Christmas. Get your Crab Feast shirts. Hit up that Amazon link. Hit that Amazon link.
Get that Amazon link.
And make sure you stay subscribed to the Crab Feast here, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter for all the final info. And Jay, I'll tell you a little bit about his show that'll be on the feed here.
The Throughline Podcast, which will continue to run on this feed through January, is going to be my new podcast, The Throughline with Jay Larson. Each week, I will have two guests on, and we'll be discussing one topic. In the first week, we're going to have Mark Maron and Jimmy Greenwood talking about vinyl records. The second week, we're talking binoculars with Adam Caton Holland and Michael Kelly from House of Cards. And then some great, great guests coming up. We're doing a true crime episode with Yardley Smith and Tim Dillon. Some interesting housing situations with Brian Callen and Cristela Alonso. There's going to be a lot of great episodes and unique conversations happening around those topics. And then each week, the full-length interview, which each guest will be available at my Patreon page. So if you really enjoy the episode, they'll each be about an hour long. You can always go over there and get the full interview with each guest. Ryan?
My new show will be called The Honeydew, and it'll be at the Your Mom's House Studios starting probably you'll get the audio the first week after the Crab Feast wraps up, but you won't start seeing video and audio probably, I think it's till the second week when the studio will be fully set and ready to go. And The Honeydew, for those of you who haven't heard yet or people still asking, is it's a storytelling podcast. Focusing on I want to, you know, highlight the lowlights. You know, let's talk about those moments in your past where you were overlooked, you were the underdog, you were, you know, broken up with, cheated, or whatever, some negative that you turned into a positive. And I want to laugh in the face of that and discuss how, you know, at the moment you thought maybe that was the biggest thing in your life and how horrible it was, and now you realize that without that ever happening, you might not be where you are, and that's probably a really good thing. So, yeah, that's what we're going to be doing, storytelling with a focus, I guess is the right word.
Yeah. Nice, man.
The Honeydew.
The Honeydew and the through line. Well, no commercials today, baby.
No commercials.
Right to this week's guest. Very excited to have her back on. Very excited to have her in my life. Because she's my mom. You guys love her to death.
You and, love her like so rare meatballs, y'all.
And we were lucky enough to get her out here for this, and we're excited to have her on. So, ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, in our top three, my mother, Susan Larson, welcome back to the Crab Feast.
Welcome back to the Crab Feast, Susan Larson.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's very nice to be here.
Oh, well, it is our pleasure that you are here.
Can I ask you this?
Sure.
Has any guest received the applause quite like, she just sits there like, yep, give it to me.
No.
Give
no.
it to
She's
me.
She's a pro. She's a pro. No one's ever received the love the way you just did so professionally, and no one's ever signed, outside of us at shows, no one else has ever
signed merch.
Ever signed merch.
Well, I must say that was a thrill when some of the audience members came up to me after the show and asked for my autograph, too.
But you
had that fucking musical note just sitting there, right? You had that right. It was like a pew, you had that ready to go. Like, oh, yeah. No, I got my own Sharpie. You remember?
Well,
I do
that when I'm writing something musically involved. You know, I always add the notes. So that's why the note was so expertly done, because I do it
expertly,
for other things.
Expertly.
But I'll tell you, my friends that were there that night got a huge kick out of that.
What, that people were...
Wanted me, yeah.
Yeah, because they don't... Your friends, you know, they don't understand the magnitude of, like, the Crab Feast fans and how passionate
right.
they get, especially about, you know...
They don't understand about podcasts.
Yeah. They had to be so blown away. Like,
and, you know, that it's such a national thing, and the numbers of listeners, they don't relate to that at all.
Do you think most of your friends, when they go out to the coffee shop to get an Arnold Palmer, get it with hibiscus tea?
I don't know if they do.
That was her this morning. Look at that tea.
That's a hibiscus?
That's an Arnold Palmer right there. You ever seen a pink Arnold Palmer?
I have never seen a pink Arnold Palmer.
So they had black tea, uh-huh. herbal tea, or hibiscus. And I like the hibiscus.
And how do you feel it pairs with the lemonade?
Oh, it's very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice, yeah. And it's not as acidy as some of the other teas would be mixed with the lemonade.
Mm-hmm.
Does it pair well with meatballs?
No, I wouldn't have it with meatballs.
Depends.
Have you seen any of the pictures where people said they are raw meatballs of ground beef, not even
cooked.
Not even putting a bone on it, anywhere near heat.
Anytime,
and they say they're done.
Anytime a Crab Feast fan is around meatballs or making meatballs, they almost always take a picture and put it on social media. Speaking of
stop it.
100%. Can people
absolutely
can we,
true?
Can we give people your Facebook social media so they can reach out to you if they wanted to?
Send you. You're going to get a lot of meatball pics.
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
What is your?
It's on Facebook.
Yeah, but what is it?
Susan Larson.
That's. Are you sure it's just Susan Larson?
Yeah.
There's not no like other Susan Larson 86 or.
Like, I have to be Ryan Sickler official on my Facebook because another Ryan Sickler out there got it before me.
Well, you know, I don't know because, like, I just will put in Jay Larson if I want to see your page. And then I get all the options for Jay Larson with the headshot.
Yeah.
And then I just pick the one that's you.
What's your headshot?
The musical note?
No, it isn't. It's actually... me, when Courtney and I went to see that great guy from Saturday Night Live that does the stand-up comedian. And
Dana Carvey?
No, the other one. The little guy. He's a friend of Steve Martin's.
Martin Short?
Yeah, Martin Short.
Love so Martin Short.
There's a picture of me right next to the life-size poster.
Are you taller than it?
No, we're like, it looks like we're almost face to face.
I was Martin Short.
And I have on a white coat that the collar is up. So I don't know how identifiable that is, but.
That's pretty identifiable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was
and
it a
I've
good
got
show?
A good grin. He was amazing.
How awesome is he?
Oh, he was amazing.
I have been a Martin Short fan. Like the first thing that. Did you watch the old SNL with him?
Yes.
When
oh,
he
yeah.
did Jackie Rogers Jr., the albino?
No.
Oh, God. The albino game show host with the cross eye. You never see that?
No.
Oh, man. You do yourself a favor. Do yourself a favor. Look up Jackie Rogers Jr., $100,000 pyramid. It's called. Yeah, it's a $100,000 pyramid jackpot wad or something like that it's called. And then watch, what was the game they used to play with the celebrity where you had a celebrity here and then they...
That's the $100,000 pyramid.
Is that, all, yeah. is that all part of it? Okay, so I thought it was two, but that's the same one. But watch Jim Belushi do Captain Kangaroo on that. It
oh,
is...
I can see how he'd be good at that.
That sketch is hysterical. But then, you know, he turned Ed Grimley into a cartoon. Even he had Jiminy Glick a little while ago
Jiminy
on Comedy
Glick
Central.
Was
hilarious.
One of the greatest things ever.
And I'm watching a lot of Cat in the Hat right now with Stella, and he's the cartoon voice of Cat in the Hat. So
every day
I'm listening to Martin Short right now.
Oh, wow.
Every
day.
Yeah, he's great.
Oh, those guys, they were unbelievable.
How long ago did
Dan Aykroyd, John Belushi, they were amazing.
Did he do like a one-man show?
When one-man show. One-man show.
Recently?
In New York City. No. No. Maybe about 8 years ago. Yeah, maybe even more. Maybe about 10 years ago. Hmm. But it was a one-man show, and then he had
like
on...
Catfishing people with that profile pic, you know?
And then I wanted to wait to get his autograph, and I did. I did finally get his autograph, but it wasn't at that moment.
Yeah.
That's the poster behind me, not him.
All right, so people can check you out there. I'm sure we're going to talk about a lot of things today, but we, you know, I was told you a little bit about, just told you that there was an adventure.
There was an adventure, and I walked in, and I saw you dressed all in white, very angelic, and you look fantastic.
Thank
I'm very
you,
glad
sir.
You're here, but as Jay was starting to say, he told me something happened yesterday, and I was a little concerned.
Sue?
And who told you about it?
Well, I'll get to that. My good friend Joe Alberta,
my whist partner.
Yeah, so we used to play whist all the time in high school and college.
What's whist?
It's a two-person card game that
four-person.
Right, well, yeah,
two teams
of two card game. So, like, if euchre or hearts or spades was checkers, whist would be chess.
Gotcha.
Okay,
it's very much like bridge.
Okay.
So you play in partners, and we were playing at my house one night when we were in college, and Sue had a late night, and she came home, and we were all, like, hanging out drinking, playing whist, and she came in, and Joe's partner had left, and Joe didn't have a partner, and Sue
hopped in.
And
they were losing.
No, he just had been losing, had lost, so he was out. So it's not like you came mid-game.
Okay.
He was out, so there was five of us left, so he didn't have a partner. Sue shows up. She's like, I'll play with you, Joe. And they ran the table like eight games in a row. Like
really?
They just kept winning. And she gave all, I think he gave Joe all their money too.
It was great. We used to play a lot in college. That was, and I never played before I got to college. And in the lounge, that was the thing. Everybody was playing whist. And so when I came home one weekend, I said to my mother and father.
What college?
UMass Lowell.
Okay, so good school.
It was U Lowell then. Now it's part of UMass Lowell.
Because in our common area, was community college was UNO. You see the difference? Chest to UNO. You see the difference?
So my mother and father, they had a group of friends, and they used to like to play cards on Saturday night for pennies. So they said, well, yeah, we'll show you how to play. And we used to play three-handed whist because it was just the three of us.
Kitty whist. Oh, you play three-handed whist.
Yeah. And so then I got into it at school, and it was just like an addiction. You know, you get down to the cafeteria, can't wait to finish the lunch. You can get in there and play cards. It's kind of scary when you think of it.
You were hardcore, that's for sure. Yeah.
So I used to play a lot, but I hadn't played then for years.
I mean, she put it this way. I learned whist and had been playing for years, never knew she ever played whist. She didn't. I learned from friends who learned from other people's moms, and then she shows up and she's like, I play whist. I'm like, oh, here we go.
You don't have a partner, Joe?
Yes.
I got nowhere. I got a deck right here. Totally.
And I mean, that night when I came in, there were two games going, one at the dining room table and one at the kitchen table. You guys were really into it.
Well, we would play. Yeah, we'd have tournaments all the time. Like, it was the best. It's such a great game because you're using your brain. You have this strategy involved, but you're playing for money.
That's right.
You know what I mean? It's like you can finagle. You can like make different things happen. It's the best. I love that game.
Was spades for us.
Oh, see, yeah, I don't know how to play
really
that.
Into spades.
Yeah.
Spades is just like whist, except spades is always the trump.
And no matter what number it is.
No.
Some
like
people play differently, but the way I've learned, two of spades will trump an ace of anything. Other people play that is a low spade. Some people play it's a high spade.
Okay.
But you tell your partner, when you go around, you tell your partner how many books you think you can make before?
Yeah, we guess roughly what we can get. So, and my partner better fucking know if I don't have diamonds to be throwing his goddamn diamonds.
Right. Mm. So this is why... Mm. This is why it's like I say it's like checkers, because in whist you don't know, no one, you can't talk ahead of time. Everyone goes around and then you make a bid. As like me, I would make a bid. Like if I took a two bid, would mean I know I can make seven books, and then they can take a three bid. You could take a four bid or five bid, but you as my partner be like, all right, my partner has a two bid in his hands. Do I have better than that? And then you start to learn a two bid would be five of one suit, and you don't call your trump till you get the bid. So I can't go, I'm going to take a two bid in diamonds, and then you could look down and be like, oh man, I have five diamonds. I'm going to take a three bid. So it's like a little different. Trump changes with every hand.
What we used to do in college, and I never even thought of this till just now while we're talking, Kathy Howe, who was like the ace.
You're not going to believe this.
Kathy Howe! Get your trump
get in
back!
Here, girl.
She
whist your ass in here,
Kathy. You're shocked, Mom.
She would, her first card down, she would really with the thumb, and that was the signal. This is my suit. This is what we want.
That's not something you can do.
that's what we used to do.
You can't get
Kathy
signals.
Got away with it.
I mean, I'm not saying I didn't sit across from somebody and tap on my ring finger to let them know I was light on diamonds either. I'm not saying I didn't make a fist for a club.
I'm just saying you don't do it. We would joke around all the time though. Like, what was that? What'd you hit the other day? 7-iron? Whew. What a great club.
Club.
Jumpin' Joe, my good buddy. He texts me yesterday morning, hey, I'm on a flight with your mom.
That's
to
a coincidence?
LA. Yeah. Coincidence. His whist partner. So
that's the second flight
from like 20 years ago.
What was the other one?
Dan Van Kirk's uncle on the flight with his grandma.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's nuts.
That's right.
Okay. So, yeah. But so did you know he was on? Did you spot him? Did you see him on the flight?
I saw him at the last second as we were boarding.
Okay.
And, you know, hello, and that was all we had time for.
He's going to Anaheim, so he's flying here
work.
And driving down to Anaheim. Yeah.
So. I didn't even know if he'd remember me. That was like 30 years ago.
So, you know, Sue isn't the most tech-savvy human being in the world.
Right.
I'm sure she knows that, you know, as you can tell by her Facebook handle and how she searches for me on Facebook.
The headshot.
So, I'm going to pick her up. I have a meeting at 1. She lands at 11:30. I say to her, are you going to have will you have your cell phone on? How many times do you think you've ever talked to me on your cell phone?
Oh, a few.
And by a few, she means literally two times in the history.
No, four or five.
It's all text?
Never has a text ever come out of her phone. She doesn't have a text. The only time you talk to Sue is on her home phone. Yeah.
Gotcha. I see.
Home phone. So I say to her, are you going to have your cell phone on you? Will you have it on? Of course, Jason. I say, okay.
Well, I did.
So at 11:30, it's 11:40. I'm showing up. I call her. Doesn't pick up. So I text Joe, hey, man, did you guys land? He texts back, yeah, just a heads up, getting off the plane, your mom fell.
Oh.
And so he goes, she's fine. She told me she's okay. I waited with her. I helped her out. He goes, but Jay, she went down pretty hard.
What?
We're laughing, but
Sue's
so
laughing over here, okay, shaking her head quietly.
You know how we do here at the laugh craft here, feast,
but what?
It didn't turn purple.
No,
though.
But she, because before she hit the floor, she hit the wall.
When I read it, I passed out early last night. When I saw that text this morning, the first thing I thought was like, you fell out of the plane onto the tarmac. You know what I mean? Like somehow the stairs moved away.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't that bad. Well, you know how they have that thing that.
Getting off the plane.
Getting off
the
plane.
You know, the fuselage. Yes. What's the thing that comes
up to it?
Little
tunnel they pull up to it. Yeah.
So I had my carry-on, which was pretty big and pretty heavy. Even Joe said that.
I didn't think it was that heavy. But I'm saying for someone of your age, an elderly person like you.
Oh, elderly now, huh?
Senior citizen.
Definitely senior citizen, yeah.
Are you proud of that?
How old are you? Do you mind saying? I forget.
I'm 70. I had a wonderful
party. We're going to talk about the birthday.
Yeah, you should be proud of every year you're still around.
But what I'm saying is Joe said, I'll carry the bag for you after we got everything sorted out. And he said, wow, this is heavy.
Well, Joe is not a very strong man.
Well, it was heavy. Can I say that I had my pocketbook?
He's a car player now. You know what I mean?
Come on, man.
It's light.
Now, you think he's lifting.
No heavy lifting in Wisp, but the money, player.
I had my pocketbook in that bag. By the time got it, I had taken the pocketbook out.
Got it.
So you got it. Light.
20 pounds lighter,
yeah,
probably, I'm guessing.
Exactly.
Now, Sue, what color is your travel luggage?
It's plum.
Plum.
Okay. Very specific.
Plum with brown leather. It's very handsome.
Pleather?
Handsome luggage.
It's handsome. It's
first time I've ever
leather.
Called luggage that handsome luggage.
It's leather, not pleather. Mm.
Did you get it at Marshall's?
No, I didn't.
Okay. No. Okay. So
it was on
walk
sale,
us through.
Though.
I'm sure it was.
So you're walking I have out the
what row are you in?
That's what I was
23.
Okay, so you're a quarter of the way. There's a lot of people behind you.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a lot of people behind me.
Ryan Sickler's in the back of that plane waiting and wondering what the fuck's going on with a four-year-old trying to get off.
And the thing is, I was right
put
there
the
in the hole.
Stella. Somebody fell up front.
But you got off the plane.
Star frozen.
Yeah,
again.
But I'm in the walkway. You know how it curves around to meet the door of the plane? That's what got me. So this bag... That was, I had to walk
with it. The handsome bag.
The handsome bag. One of the handsome bags. I had to walk with it in front of me because the aisle is so narrow.
Gotcha.
So when I got there, that banged into something and that threw me off balance. And then I had wedges on that the heel is a little bit narrower.
Kate was like, why are you not wearing sneakers while you travel, Sue? And she's like, well, these are very comfortable. We're like, how comfortable that you're... They're one of the factors of why you fell.
They're treacherous, but man, I got some arch support.
The bag hit the left.
Feet were comfortable all the way through the fall.
Should have worn them on her head, man.
The right, I stepped to the right foot and I went over on my ankle.
So you hit on the side.
The bag hit left.
Shoves you over.
It shoves me to the right and then that foot went over on the ankle.
Oh, it rolled.
So then I'm feeling myself
go. Hold on. Before you any further, is it right here like by the cockpit and everything?
Yeah.
Like, outside.
Yeah.
But I know. You're now in that
right,
thing
like
that
I've
if they pulled it out, you'd not be in the plane. You'd be in the tunnel
thing.
I'd be
on the floor.
But there's always a flight attendant. Usually the pilots are standing right there.
They were behind me.
Yeah, behind. They're in the plane.
Right, yeah.
They're right behind me.
Two, three steps
I have
ahead.
One step
yes,
in
I'm
the plane
you.
And one step on that other thing where it's all those foldable metal things that curve around.
The accordion.
Yes. So now
hold
the bag.
Hold on. You had said to me on the phone, the thought that you had when you started to trip. You want to tell us what that thought was?
Don't hit your head.
No. You had told me, she said...
She said it like she was guessing on a $100,000 pyramid. Don't hit your head!
That's well, because she did say that too, but she said, you know, I started to fall, and I said to myself, oh, I'm going to catch myself from falling. And then she... Then
well,
she,
that's true.
Anyone who's ever taken a dig, like I did at South by Southwest a couple years ago, I took a dig.
Where?
at this like outdoor venue, and I was walking, and there were like it was like a lot of dirt, and there were like pallets down, and I tripped, and I go, oh, I got this, and then all of a sudden, because we don't realize how much weight we really weigh, that getting pulled to the ground, you're like, oh my god, I'm not, and that's what she thought too.
Exactly.
She's like, oh, I'm gonna catch myself.
I thought I'd catch myself, and so this right foot, now I'm on the ankle bone, so I put the left foot down, and there was like no place to put it. I don't know whether
it was air.
I don't know whether I got it on the bag or what. So then I went lurched to the left.
Your handsome lug.
I lurched to the left, and my head hit the curved part.
Jeez.
Of the wall. And then I went
before
down.
You went down.
Before then I went
I'm
down.
Thinking you hit it on the ground.
Nah,
but
man.
When I went to the ground,
the universe got a couple headshots in before
you
she
got
hit
jumped.
The ground.
You got jumped by the plane.
But then when I went down, it's like I didn't hit my head. My head's up here. Didn't hit the thing. So then, of course, they all converge.
Well, and now Joe.
Converge.
Joe
was four rows up.
That's my worst part.
Yeah, Joe was already out.
He was ahead of her in the plane,
right.
So when he got off, he waited because he was going to help walk my mom out, because Joe's a gentleman. So he saw the
and
whole
a good
thing.
Oh.
He saw it in real time.
God.
He did, because then one of the flight attendants came out and said, what happened? And Joe said, I saw the whole thing. He was kind of funny. I saw the whole thing.
He's crying like T.O., like, that's my whist player. You know what I'm talking about?
That's my quarterback. That's my quarterback.
So Joe's watching from the front. Everybody else is watching from the back.
Yeah.
And in between this small space, all this goes down in a matter of
Joe
seconds.
Joe is standing where you would if you back tagged.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
He's over there by the strollers and shit.
So I'm trying to do a check. Is everything okay, you know, before I go to get up?
At this point, your adrenaline, you didn't even know you hit your head.
I knew I hit my head, but I didn't hit the back of my head.
Okay.
And I didn't do
it.
Did
you go down on your face, or did you turn over and hit on your back or side?
No, I went on my face. But I kept my head up. I kept my head up.
As you should. As you should.
She went into a Superman.
So
they all come over.
I'm kind of thinking, okay, I guess everything's okay. And so one of the flight attendants, it was a man, he said, can we move this along?
Nuh-uh.
To me. He said, are you all right? Are you
she
all right?
She is a little dramatic, Dry.
He said, are you all right?
We're going to need to put flight 675 on a new gate. We got a lady overdoing it
down
here.
Down.
There's meatballs all over the plane right now. We're going to have to clean that up.
Would passenger Susan Larson report to baggage claim and claim your uncooked meatballs?
If you're anyone behind row 23, it's going to be a minute. Go ahead.
And have a seat.
We'll have some peanuts and some drinks come around here shortly.
Complimentary movies are being shown for those of you.
The Godzilla trilogy is going to start right here anytime now. We're going to be a minute.
How long do you think you were down for?
Oh, I don't think it was... I don't think it was a minute.
Fuck no. That. First of all, fuck that guy for saying, can we move this shit along?
I know.
First of all, can we talk about that? I don't care if he said it as nice as someone could possibly say. Can we move this along?
How did he say
Regardless.
It?
He said, are you okay? And I said, yes. And he said, can we move this along? And Joe said, she just took a header.
Yeah.
Joe was the
Let's
one that kind of said.
Let's get some cones out here. We'll just make a single file around it.
So then another person comes up with one of those wheelchairs.
Feel free to grab a meatball on the way by. They're complimentary. We'll be playing whist in about 2025.
But we are short one partner.
We are down one partner.
So then somebody comes up with one of those airport wheelchairs.
Wait, no one, other than are you okay, can we move this along, no one else said anything to you?
Nope.
That's the first and only thing? There was no one else that said, oh my God, are you okay, can we help you? That was the first question, was are you okay, yeah, can we hustle this along,
yep.
Basically.
Yeah, he wanted to get me up.
What airline?
Delta.
Southwest wouldn't have treated you like that.
Well, Southwest would have been like, what boarding group were you in?
You just get off when you get off, man. That's fine.
And Joe said, he said, I'll walk with her. And, okay. And then the steward said, are you sure? He said, yeah, I'll walk with her. And Joe said, let me take the bag.
So you declined the wheelchair.
Yeah, they didn't really offer it to me. They just came up and stood in front of me.
Well, they were probably there to get. They were probably trying to get Miss Thompson.
They probably were. Yeah.
Who's sitting there waiting? Like, what's the holdup?
Kitty Thompson, you're gonna have to sit down and wait about 20-25 right now. We're gonna cone this area off up here as soon as we get the meatballs.
No one's coning it off.
We're gonna go ahead and get you out of here, Miss Kitty.
So Joe said, "I'll take that for you." I said, "No, Joe, you've got your own bag." He said, "I'll take it." And then when he took, he said, ooh, this is heavy.
Weak ass Joe. Card player Joe.
Couldn't handle it. Well, he had a carry on and his roller on.
Yeah.
Roller on.
Yeah. So
we're going to be cruising an altitude of about 15 feet for the next 2 hours. We're going to be more hovering than we are flying today here on Delta, y'all.
So you walk out.
So then I said to him, well, first I need to go to the ladies' room.
Are you bleeding? Is there marks? Nothing.
No. Nothing.
An egg is forming here.
Well, yeah. No egg.
It's not bad today.
Yeah, maybe a robin.
Who got it? Was it Riddick? But remember that one time he got punched right on a vein and that thing blew up on a thing? Oh. Or Haseen Rockman. One of those two guys had that. Ugh. Somebody out there.
Well, no, luckily nothing really.
Well, when I got to your house, Kate put an ice pack on it and it helped.
So
I,
no one else from this airline addressed your fall.
No.
You have to say something about this.
Well, you know, I was wondering about that this
100%,
morning.
100%. 100%. Look, let's lay it out factually. Okay?
Like she did.
A female senior citizen took a fall and no one from Delta assisted you other than to say, are you okay?
That's right.
Okay. I had a friend do a pratfall and he was in his 20s, early 30s at Universal Studios, a fake fall. They rushed over and then it backfired on him, refused to allow him to get up off the ground in case he really was hurt, and that way he had no chance at a lawsuit or anything. He got so angry, like, let me up, and they would not let him up until the paramedics checked him out and then said, you're free to go.
That's what I thought they were going to say, is, wait, we want somebody to check you out.
What if this concussion hurt you later?
I know. I thought of that.
Well,
I mean,
that's something you could address later.
You should help your mom with this.
I have a different opinion on
it. I'm putting it on
you.
Well, let's hear your
There's nothing
opinion.
To put on me.
I'm just saying you should help your
sister. I think we overreact
sister.
In the world all the time. The guy said, are you okay? You said, yeah. If you really weren't, I'm sure they would have said, like, oh, let me help. You know what I mean? I would like to question whether those were his exact words. Let's move it along. I don't know if that's official. I'll cross it up with Joe. She's elderly. She's an elderly woman.
Who just hit her head?
He might have said, like, oh, man, we'll give you as much time as you need. Do you want to move
that
along?
Hip was broken before she fell. Statistics show most time elderly people fall. The hip is actually broken before they fall down the steps. We'll take a look at that.
Hey, but, you know, I did have that thought.
They should look at you.
I'm surprised somebody.
I understand. Yeah.
Here's the thing. Hear what you're saying, Jay Larson. I don't agree with you at all. Fortunately, she's okay.
100%.
But if that's your practice... If someone just hit their head, they could just say yeah. They might not even know what the hell they're saying.
That's what I was just gonna say.
To look out for the next person, there should be, and I'm sure there is. I'm sure there's a protocol at this company for that. I'm sure there
it's gotta
is.
Be.
I'm just saying this. If they had done what they did to your friend at Universal Studio, we'd be sitting here being like, that's ridiculous. You said you were fine. They held you there. They made you go to a doctor. They pushed your time. And it'll be one whole other thing.
I don't think it would be ridiculous. I don't.
If you wanted to, you could write an email to Delta and say, this
you
is
should.
What I flew, and maybe... I have no problem. If you want to write a letter and try and get a free flight out of it, go for it. But
you
I mean,
should.
You know.
Yeah.
At the minimum, they should fly you free for that. First class, round trip, straight shot.
To Australia.
Yeah, let's not push it. Your meatballs did damage the carpet in the walkway.
This is Australia. Delta, we're going to refuse this guest. We're going to have to take this down right here around Italy right now, everybody.
Joe kept saying to me, are you dizzy? Are you dizzy?
Yeah.
But he also said, I got her. I'm going to walk her. I'll take her. And I mean, I get it.
Yeah,
I totally get it.
Liability issues.
That's right. And I'll give you another
example. Then tell him
example.
You were dizzy. hit him up and let him
a
know
a lot of people
Disney
get rear-ended in a car accident. They're sure. totally fine. Mm-hmm. The next day, their body is
right.
killing them. Adrenaline right. overrides a lot of things
yep.
immediately.
And, if I was
and then
a
when
lawyer,
it wears off.
If I was the lawyer for Delta, I would listen to this podcast. I'd go back and watch Rye's stand-up and see how he did a joke about deliberately wanting to get rear-ended, and I'd throw this whole thing
I
out of court.
I don't, just saying, I don't have a joke about deliberately wanting to get rear-ended. I just was about to be a victim, and I put a positive spin on it.
Either way, go, write your
you
email.
Should. So you should absolutely
off.
Email.
You and Joe walked off.
So we got into the airport, and it's that big round section of the airport in L.A.
It's terminal?
It's the terminal, yeah.
And so this is the head injury right here talking right now.
And I said to him, I need to go to the ladies' room. So he said, okay, I'll find it for you. And then he said, I'll wait till you come out. I thought that was so sweet. I said, no, you really don't have to, Joe. I'm really okay. I said, you don't have any bags you have to claim, and I have to go to baggage claim and everything.
They should fly you and Joe round trip first class to the whatever WIS tournament y'all want to play. That's what I'm thinking.
So when I came out, he was gone, but he had texted you.
Yeah. So Joe texted me and said, hey, man, your mom said she's fine. I think she's fine. I have to go to a lunch meeting. I left your mom at baggage. And I was like, all right. Because I was like, depending on time, was going to either
because you still obviously haven't heard anything from her, right?
Obviously. Not well, even see, because of the head injury.
No, it, I was going to call
I don't know,
you.
Lack of technology.
Well, let's see, though.
So, I was going to call you when the baggage came. Because sometimes you can wait so long for the
true.
Baggage.
Sure. Either way, I was
of course, the
I
baggage was
already, at the
was already there.
That handsome somebody. Luggage was waiting already.
You know what I'm saying? So it was going to be either for me a pull up and pick up, or it was going to be a park and then go over. But I was pressed for time at a 1 o'clock, and I was like, well, now I have to, you know, park and pick her up because I don't want her lugging a big bag. So I go over, and Delta is Terminal 2 and Terminal 3. You know what I mean? Because
damn near terminally ill.
They have construction going on. So I hit Joe and I go, hey, man, do you, I go to 2 first because it's right there and I don't see her anywhere. So then I start walking to 3 and I see Joe waiting for a cab, second in line.
This is funny.
I have a hooded sweatshirt on, a hat and sunglasses, and he's on his phone and I just go
and
up.
And he's got the hood up.
Yeah. And I grab his bag and like I'm a
thief.
Like,
running. Is it on him or next to
next,
him?
Dude. The woman next to him goes, oh my God! Oh my God!
Got an oh my God out of somebody.
She freaked. Joe's face, right? If I could have captured the look in his face of fear, shock. He's reaching for his bag.
Anger.
He's grabbing it. I'm pulling it from him. He can't see me. I got a hood on, glasses. And then I start laughing hysterically. And he's like, oh my God, Jay. And I give him this big hug. This guy comes up behind me and goes,
you're lucky you didn't get tased or some shit, dude, at the airport.
The guy behind me goes, I was about to put this cigar out on your face.
Everybody wants to attack these days.
So
that mob mentality waiting for a taxi, you know?
It's true.
Hell yeah.
He cut his finger open trying to hold his bag.
That's on Delta, too. If I'm him, I'm saying it was trying to help you out of there. I don't know about you. You might want to. We'll edit this part right here.
So anyway, it was. And then I went in, and there was Sue. And we got her, and we
jeez.
Got her home. We got a nice
that's how
a
trip started.
With my 2 pieces of handsome luggage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but you definitely need to. I'm on your side.
No, I think I should say something
100%.
To them. 100%. Because it was minimal contact with me.
Let me tell you something. There are people that won't let people get peanuts on planes because they're allergic.
I know.
Okay? You fell. Hit your head on their property, off their flight. That's on them. 100%.
Yeah.
No one should have come up to you and said, are you okay? Yeah. All right, then let's move along. Like that. What the fuck are you talking about?
Are you still standing behind that? He said those words exactly.
Yeah.
Stay strong on that because a lawyer will come in and be like, you had hit your head. And you'd be like, yeah. So I might not even know what I was talking about. Mm-mm.
I suppose I could not have known, but I did know. But people will say they're fine and they're not.
Of course. Happens all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
Car accidents.
People will tell you they're cooked meatballs and they're not. You know what I mean?
Those meatballs were delicious.
A lot of variables, man.
Lots of happened once.
Sue, it did not happen once. I heard your scallops, too, get undercooked.
No, no.
I would have liked to have tried the scallops, Sue.
They were good.
Cooked like the meatballs?
No, they were very good.
Well, I'm just saying. I like the scallop. We get it all the time. Sushi over at Sugarfish.
Oh, man. Jumbo scallop.
Really?
With a little yuzu ponzu. Come on.
Well, what'd you call her? So the last time I saw you was when we were home for your 70th.
Yes.
Do you want to tell Rye a little bit about that?
Well, my 70th was actually in March. But
March what? I'm March 8th. What are you? Are
the
Pisces?
15th. Yeah, Pisces.
Okay, I think we probably have talked about this. One, you're so sensitive.
March people are good people.
They are good people. Yeah. Damn good people.
Yeah. So the kids wanted to have a party, and they wanted it to be at a time of the year when everybody was out of school because they all had to travel. So we planned it for June.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it was Adam and Courtney.
Thank God you're in good health.
I know.
I mean, March to June, a lot of shit can go down. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Yeah.
And so they planned.
The three of us planned that party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a couple texts here and there.
The three of us planned it.
But they picked.
The venue. Yeah. It was back here. Yeah. They picked a beautiful venue. There were a lot of criteria coming from Sue. Initially.
You had input? Did you have input?
Just the guest list.
Okay.
Guest list. And now initially, we sent out an invite, but initially you wanted...
Well, I wanted invitations.
She wanted invitations sent out.
Mm-hmm.
Invitations with save the dates.
Okay.
You know, like a wedding.
Yeah.
But we did the invite. We said, I think I was the one. They sent it to me. There was some stuff that Sue wanted. And then you never, if you could see the email chain, because Courtney, Adam, and I were planning it. And I wrote on the email chain, I go, listen, I think we should really do our best to accommodate these things for mom. It's her 70th. I go, one thing she asked me for is at some point during the birthday, if we release Doves.
I never.
I wrote that. And
dyed pink. I want them dyed pink, too.
And to match my hibiscus tea.
Can we get plum Doves? I'm going to be arriving with my luggage.
I sent that email off, and my phone rang within 8 seconds, and it was Courtney. I go, hey, and she goes, Mom did not say that. And I go, no, Courtney, I'm just messing to see what Adam
good.
Says.
I'm she glad rabbits. That she knew I wouldn't say that.
Adam responded later in the day and like answered everything else that I put in there, and then he goes, and by the way, about those Doves, if that's real, hell no. If it's fake, that's hilarious.
I got a line on some butterflies. We can.
We just got away from the hatch, okay? They're caterpillars right now.
It's a caterpillar farm right now, so if she can hang on until November,
we'll see. So what were some other things that you had requested that you thought would be nice to have at your 70th?
This is right. I forgot.
Flower arrangements, any sort of floral?
That goes without saying.
But did you have input in that, I'm saying?
No.
No, I started to.
We were like,
they were like, let's unplug that.
When the idea of the party was first discussed, I must say I went on to Pinterest and wedding sites and jotted down the names of some florists in the Boston area that I thought had done particularly lovely centerpieces. And then at one point I said to Courtney, you know, have you thought of a color scheme? And she said, no. And I said, okay.
What are your bridesmaids wear?
So I just backed off on the florists. And I said, maybe they're not going to do that. But they did.
Yeah,
you,
of course.
You had beautiful centerpieces.
She, for music, that was
so you had
issue.
The flowers. You just took the...
Yeah, we don't need
creative direction away.
Yeah,
that's right.
We ended up getting this beautiful carriage house that Courtney and Adam went out and scouted.
What is that? What is a carriage house?
Carriage house is like a big house, a building that's like a garage when you had horse and buggy and carriages. So there'd be like stalls for the
horses. Is it the stones, like the rocks?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the floor sometimes can be stone. This has like been redone. So there is an area. There was like, it's just like a big room that was beautiful.
Like with guts are still inside. Like,
yep, vintage, the shawl, sort of. The stalls.
The stalls were another room where like the horse used to be, but it's all cleaned out. And
Except for that last thong.
Everybody
that's
had
where
shuffle.
We put the tarot card reader.
So Sue requested a tarot card
reader. Oh, that's cool. So the stalls are still present as sort of rooms or like nooks or whatever?
Okay. Nooks, yeah. But we had her in between the stalls, in the back, because it was tarot cards, you'd secretive, you're going back there. And then we had the photographer, we set up a little space where people get their photos taken and stuff like that.
And then I had also
an open bar. We had fully catered.
Wow.
Beautiful food.
Beautiful.
I mean, Sue was talking a lot, so she didn't really have a chance to get. Did you eat? Remember, you never even
I
ate
never
your plate.
Really ate.
She was like a bride. Yeah. Like,
did you get your cards read?
I didn't, but I went to her house afterwards.
That's a second story. I'll get to that.
All right. What the hell? I heard that.
Just wait.
I need
to put the card reader back by the meatballs. I'll see if I can make it.
How many people did you invite?
There were about 80 people.
Wow. And how many showed?
Everybody.
Wow.
I mean, I don't think if anyone didn't show, first of all, it's a huge birthday. Sue is very important to a lot of people, and they're not going to miss her 70th.
Had
a
3-month heads up.
You know what I mean? We gave some time.
We had a lot of time.
And there were, there would have been 90 if everybody had been able to come, but Norma and Eddie didn't come from
Florida
and stuff
that.
But I want to back up and say for those podcast fans who might be in the Boston area.
Oh boy.
The Gore Estate in Waltham is where they had the party. And Gore was a governor of Massachusetts, and this was his estate built about 1820, I think.
Is Al Gore of these Gores?
I don't know. That's a good question. That's a good question. But it's a beautiful Palladian mansion, and it's a historic house. So they don't do any events in the house. But it is a site for a lot of weddings, and for larger weddings, they have tents on the grounds. Beautiful grounds. And the carriage house is where they have the functions. And it's really beautiful.
Yeah, it's really
lovely.
Nice. Adam and Courtney did a great job finding it.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. So I just wanted to give that historical perspective
on the
architecture before we continued on.
I appreciate it.
But I had also seen, if this is not an original idea, some Boston event planner that does a lot of big events that make it into Boston Magazine and all of that. They bring a couple of large picture frames to the events so that when people are snapping pictures, you hold a frame up and they're...
Looks like your frame.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm.
So I had remembered that.
Yeah, we did it.
And they did it.
Yeah.
And it was fabulous. And some of those pictures are hysterical because everyone gets silly when you say, here, hold the frame. And then, you know... So that was a really nice touch. And the photographer went around. He got every table. He got all different groups of people. It was really great. Kristen wrote a poem.
Yeah.
Very nice poem.
So my Nana, Sue's mom, used to write a lot of poems. And so Kristen wrote one, in the vein and memory of Nana, about you, which was great. She crushed it. It was awesome. We opened, and then Sue gave a speech.
Yep.
Did you?
Yeah, and this morning I was thinking, I wish I had the speech with me.
I know. Well,
because I had some good stuff.
Luckily
in
for
there.
You, I couldn't forget it. It was.
Oh. I was about to say.
No, you did a great job on that.
Thank
speech.
You. Thank
and then
you.
I opened the floor up because I kind of emceed it. I opened the floor up to anyone else if they wanted to come up and say a few words, and nobody did.
No, a couple did.
No one did.
Yeah, they did.
Who?
David Traugott. Said something about me
He's
being in the church.
He's got something else to say, too. David Traugott! Get your ass out of here.
But you know what's funny?
Wait, hold on. Who else did? David Traugott said something about her being in the church. Jay's shaking his head.
I know David Traugott. I was there. He maybe came over to you and said a couple
this
things.
This might be that Delta concussion again.
No, but there was also a female who said it. This awful. I don't remember who
it's
it was.
Fine. But you know what I did? Since I was emceeing, I said, if anyone would like to come up and say a few words, I know that Joan LaGore said that she wanted to come up. I said that.
You called her out just to put her on the spot?
Dude, you should have seen her
she
face.
Panicked.
She was like, oh my God. I didn't prepare anything.
The thing is, a lot of people said to me they were waiting for you to do a bit. They would have liked to have heard you.
Oh my God. I'm not going to do stand-up at your 70th.
Well, they were hoping you would.
I'll see if you make it to 80, I'll do it.
Next, did he sign any autographs?
No, didn't sign any autographs.
No, the food was delicious.
Food was fabulous. Yep.
So
cake was beautiful.
Dancing?
No.
No dancing?
No. We just had music going, which was nice.
Yeah.
And then there was the grounds, and some of the kids were like, we were outside playing frisbee and had like
just
baseball.
A daytime, nighttime.
Yeah, daytime.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. We did 2 to 5, I think.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful. And people really love the tarot card reader, so much so that I got hit up from Sue. I mean, there's nothing she's ever hit me up about more about getting this tarot card number because she had to see this person because everyone was so moved.
Oh. Okay, because you hadn't seen it, but everyone was telling you how great she was.
Oh, they were coming right out saying, I can't believe this. So she was kind of off in the horse stalls.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a line for her, and the line was constant the whole party. They were always...
To say hello to Sue? No line at all.
Walk by from a distance like, happy birthday!
People are walking back crying from the tarot card. We're like, sorry, Sue, I got to go.
I don't know. She said, I don't have too much longer around here.
The other thing they did was they had a wonderful board made with like the year I was born, all the things that happened. And then they had a big board and cute little papers pre-cut in interesting shapes to write something, a note to me, and stick them on the board.
Yeah.
So I have this big board now at home with these wonderful messages.
How often
messages.
Do you sit and read them?
Twice a week.
Do you?
Yeah.
So what is your birth year?
1948.
48, okay. Well, I guess so. It's 2018.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was
all right.
Terrific.
You're the same age my mom is. My mom just turned 70 last year. And since we reconnected, I'll be honest, I don't know. I think it's New Year's Day is her birthday, not New Year's Eve. But my brother, instead of doing a party or anything, he's like, look, there's just too much going on. So we all pitched in and got her a nice watch.
Very nice.
She wanted that. That's what she wanted.
That's cool.
Very nice. I got this.
Like a retirement party.
Yep.
You know what
we
I mean?
Got, we gave her this as well.
That's nice.
It's David Yerman.
And Courtney had... found a lot of pictures. She went through all my photographs. And I don't know exactly what the process was, but she...
Photograph!
She printed them on like a translucent paper and then mounted them in little frames and made it like a four-sided votive holder with a candle inside.
Oh, very nice.
So it illuminated through the images.
Oh,
and
that's cool.
The pictures were different on every table.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah, she crushed that.
And the tables reflected the different pieces of my life, which I thought was so cool.
Because Sue has a lot of different groups. You know, like my mom was, you know, you were very active your whole life with tons. You still are. And so you have, let's go through your different groups of people. That we had the church people.
Who sat at the whist table?
Just Joe. He sat by himself.
It was more like a whist chair.
You, so, Sue, how many years did you play?
At that church? Yeah. 20 years.
She played 20 years organ and ran the choir at this church in our town. Not the church that we grew up going to. It became the church you went to.
Yeah.
So you had that group that was there.
Yep.
You had, you know, she worked at Boston Ballet forever.
That's
so
what I was gonna ask
that
you.
Group was there. Then there was family was there.
Yep.
Smallest group of everybody.
And then there's a whole group of my friends from high school and elementary school.
Wow, you have elementary camp.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There's a whole crowd.
Where
of them.
Were there's was there a Feaster's table? Crab Feast fans out there? For
oh,
you?
They were at every table.
That's a great answer.
Is that every group or are there more?
The ballet, the church, the family, obviously.
Yeah, two
friends.
Families, the Reeds.
Yeah, a lot of Reeds showed up.
Yep.
Which we didn't really have a very, they weren't really involved in our life when we were kids.
That your dad's side?
No, her side.
Oh, your side.
Yeah.
My dad's side, there wasn't, I mean, we weren't much involved with them either.
But was there anyone that you were? Is there anybody from your ex-husband's side that you did stay in touch with or you connected
oh, yeah.
with?
Yeah,
that-
my two sisters-in-law.
Yeah.
And actually, they chose this venue for one of my sisters-in-law because she's in a wheelchair.
My aunt Val.
So she came.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay,
but
good.
No, my aunt Val. My aunt Val and Uncle Terry. We were around them my whole life.
Is Uncle Terry your dad's brother?
No, Uncle Terry.
Her husband.
My aunt Val is my dad's sister.
Right.
And then Uncle Terry married her. Uncle Terry. Dude,
Terry.
He's the one who's got a half a pinky.
Oh, yeah.
And when he used to barbecue, he was always wearing those. He was a gym teacher. Yeah. He wore bike shorts and,
A whistle.
Jason, grab me a Coors Light. He was always drinking Coors Lights. Yeah, he's the best. He taught me how to throw a change up. He would love baseball. I love to.
Taught you how to tie a tie?
I don't think so.
No?
I didn't learn how to tie a tie until
YouTube.
Junior year in high school.
That's when I learned. YouTube.
That's how I learned how to tie a bow tie.
I learned how to tie a real tie on YouTube. I used to have that half-ass slant knot in high school all the time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just slant up like this.
So, yeah, they were... But the reeds, we used to, when we were young, go over to... whose pool was that?
Jackie's.
And then it just was tough. I mean, you know, four kids and she's working. It's tough to keep up with all that. And we, you know, she's an only child, so she didn't have any...
Yeah.
Cousins, or did you have cousins?
Cousins, yeah, that's who was there.
Oh, okay, yeah, those people.
But, I mean, I don't have any siblings, so there isn't that branch level. But Pat and Jerry Reed came from North Carolina.
Yeah, they're the best.
Billy Reed came from Las Vegas.
He's great.
Yeah,
yeah,
was great.
Wow.
Yep,
was great.
It was very well attended and well traveled.
Yeah.
Apparently, too.
Yeah.
Thank God none of them fell off the flight.
I know right? it. I know it.
So after this party, it ended at 5. So we had been staying down the Cape with my brother, came up for this party. Then we were going up to Gloucester because we were renting a house up there. And the whole family came up there a couple days later. But you went back to your house and had a party.
Right, with the Reeds.
With the Reeds. So how many people were there?
Oh, there were about 8 of us.
Okay.
A little after party.
Yeah.
I like it.
And then after that party.
The after party?
It was another party, but wasn't so great. What happened the day after your party?
Oh, John's wife died. One of my cousins who was at the party.
Sue served meatballs.
Oh. Well, I hope it wasn't the homemade sauce. So someone that was in attendance died the next day?
Yeah.
Actually, 2 days later, Tuesday.
Made it to your party and then left this
planet. If we had had it a week later, you know.
Thank God, you weren't born in April. They'd had to push that shit to July. You know? You'd all have been seeing each other a month early at the funeral.
No, but so, you know, Sue
Man.
Often.
So, you know, the Reeds.
Did the tarot card reader see this coming?
I hadn't had my cards read yet, so I don't know.
No, it would have been her cards, Mom.
She didn't have her cards done that day.
She should have. She should have. Should have stood in that line. It'd have been worth it.
I was thinking to myself, I need to be prepared because the Reeds are all coming a long distance, so I ought to have them back and have the porch all ready because I've got a great entertaining space.
Yeah, when they moved out, you built that. I saw it.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had a nice assortment that didn't take a lot of planning for me because I was going to be at the party during the day, but I had a real nice assortment of food and we had drinks and everything. It was a great time. We had a wonderful evening. And I noticed that Anne was eating up a storm. And John said to me,
How many rare meatballs can you eat, man?
And she's a little bit of a thing.
Why? Because they're rare? No, because you had so many.
She's a little bit of a thing.
We just want to let everybody know.
I didn't serve meatballs.
What did you? You served all the leftovers from the party, right?
No.
Oh, what'd you serve?
No.
What did you serve?
Well, now I can't remember.
Well, clearly you can't.
You're concussed. You are concussed.
Undercooked
it's getting worse.
Yeah, the scallops going out.
I did have the scallops that I brought to the zoo the day we went. You remember that?
The crab balls.
Crab cakes.
Oh, you called them cakes.
No, they were crab balls.
Yeah,
they
weren't, though.
They were delicious. They were very good.
Did you heat them for the party in the car?
No.
Like you did the ones at the zoo?
No.
The heat, the sun, the summer heat.
Those are in the car for an hour and a half before she brought them out.
Just staying on warm.
And nobody got sick.
She died!
No, she, but.
Okay,
no.
Hold on. So no, she ate food at the after party.
Oh, a lot.
A lot. And you noticed that.
I noticed it.
She's eating.
But it was
Is that a sign of people that are
good? Yeah, I want to know.
No, there was she had a stomach issue that she was going in for surgery on.
Really?
But they didn't think.
What was the issue?
They didn't think it was going to kill her. They thought she would be okay through the surgery.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
So
this was really a surprise, even though she knew she was going to the hospital.
What was she having done to her stomach?
Well, it's complicated. Okay. We don't want to get into that.
Yeah.
But, so she was scheduled to go to the hospital the next day.
Doctor, come look at this x-ray. Do these meatballs look good? I mean, these look browned at best here.
So her husband said to me, this worked out really nice because she got to see all the reeds from Vegas and everything, which we don't see very often. And so we had a really fabulous evening. And she was knowing that the next day she was going in.
Surgery. That's terrible. Yeah. I didn't know that. We didn't talk to it to that length. And I love him to death. He is one of the sweetest men like ever in my life. That's terrible. I didn't know it was that circumstance. But, I mean, I know we're joking about it and everything, which that's what we do. We make, you know, but that is terrible. Rye's biting his tongue. He's got something on
his... I didn't know it went down like that. I feel bad. Like...
We're going to go ahead and we're going to tip the wing side to side here and pour a little half out for the for those that aren't with us anymore. Enjoy your meatballs.
But no, so you had been on me about this tarot card reader. I got an email. I got a Facebook message. I got an email from Courtney saying, hey, Mom, would love you to get her that tarot card reader's number. Because that was one of the things I handled was booking the tarot card reader. You know, like there's only so much I can do from over here. I was like, oh, I can get that. And so I was like, yeah, you know, I'll find it. And then finally I got...
How did you find her?
I use like a Google search for tarot card readers in Massachusetts. And then I like looked at everyone's profiles. And it was between two people, by the way. There was this one dude who had like a crystal ball and was like, looked just like my dad. And I sent pictures to Courtney and I'm like, oh, should I book this guy? Looks just like that. And they're like, I don't know. And this woman, I don't know, like her reviews were great. And like people just seemed like they really can. And she just seemed like she fit you, you know?
Yeah.
I looked through a lot of people on that. Like, you know, there's like a list of, and I remember because I forget what her rate was, but it was like it seemed reasonable. And then when it was the day to pay her, you know, I paid her that day and then she left and then she texted me and she's like, hey, you didn't pay me enough. And I go, what? And the rate on the thing was per hour. She quoted me. I thought it was for the whole 3 hours, but no, that was per hour. So I had to like give her three times. And I was like, oh, that makes sense because she was really I didn't care. I was like, you know, whatever. You know, we had a blast and everyone enjoyed it. It's worth it, you know.
Yeah.
But so I got your number.
How many days after the party are we talking now?
That she asked for the number?
No, that you're going to see her.
That she's going to see her?
Yeah.
I don't know. How far after
it was
the party?
About a month.
Oh, okay.
So
when you said I went, I thought you meant like that night you ended up back at this
She asked
house.
Me for the number within a week.
Yeah.
It was like, I got to get that number.
So that many people really spoke highly of her.
I didn't want it to go out of his psyche and then it would be gone forever if I didn't get it right away. So one of my friends who was blown away with the reading she had at the party, she said, I want to go again. I'll go with you. And I said, okay, it's kind of expensive. And I thought I might get a free one because on her ads it said the hostess gets a free reading at each party.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, it was my party, but it was such a long line I never got to see you. And... But I had to pay anyway.
$500.
So this was a private reading.
A private reading. So she does different.
How many people went?
Two of us.
So just the two of you?
She does different levels.
Right, but she probably was able to take her time and not be rushed and give you the gloss over.
Well, she says she's going to give you a half hour, but she was over an hour with me.
Wow.
She served tea or anything?
No.
No. You went to her house?
We went to her house. So she's got a little. It could be a cute house right on the water in Halifax, Massachusetts. Maybe I shouldn't be giving out these details.
That's fine.
But anyway.
What was her exact address?
I'm not going to give that up.
If you know it, it blows me away, but don't.
So Sandy and I went, and she, you know, has a room that's separate, so we're not hearing each other's readings. And my reading was amazing. It was just
so. Who
phenomenal.
Went first? You or Sandy?
Me.
So Sandy had to wait as long as those people on the plane. Man, back there a while.
Longer. She had to sit in the room with the cockatoo and the dog and the two cats.
Oh, that sounds about right for a tarot card reading.
Yeah,
for sure. So, what were some of the things that are you willing to share? What were you were exposed or? There was one that I thought was very interesting.
And a follow-up question is, has any of that at this point come to fruition?
Well, she's not a fortune teller.
Someone came to her.
She comes from across, but she's not a fortune teller. She is a medium.
Oh, I see. She's not the crystal ball dude.
No. So who showed up that day?
So my mother showed up,
Nana.
And that was really interesting. And then she said, I'm not getting your father. Your father's not showing up. But she got my three aunts, and I had two unmarried aunts, my mother's two sisters that always lived next door to us. It was like I had three mothers. And then my father's sister, who didn't have any children, she was always very close to me. So there were a lot of dominant women in our family dynamic. And then after a while, she said, oh, your father's here. And he said, he doesn't say much because all the women speak for him. I said, oh, my God, that's right.
That's amazing.
But see this ring I'm wearing?
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
Thank you. I had this designed.
Based off of a ring that Liberace had.
No.
Looks like there's a chip in it from that Delta wall.
Right? No, there's a crack in the Delta wall from this.
You're damn right about that. They're going to sue you.
So I didn't wear any jewelry or anything that day because I always figure you don't want to give them hints. And so this took her a long time to get around to this. And she kept going through things that weren't making sense. She said, jewelry, I'm seeing marquisite, marquee. Is there a marquee stone? And I said, yeah. And she said, was it your mother's? And I said, no. And then she said,
she's like, let me go down my checklist. Was it a grain? Yeah.
She's like, I'm seeing the dinner. Did you eat dinner at any point?
So she said, your mother is saying that you took something of hers and something of yours and combined them. She said, do you do creative things or craft type things? She said, your mother is mentioning something. She said, I want to say it's got something to do with jewelry, either marquisite or a marquee. And she said, your mother is saying how happy it makes her that you did this. Well, this ring has my diamond and my mother's diamond. And then I had my mother's diamond matched over here.
Wow.
So that's what that was.
So you had that whole, that's a created ring.
Yes.
Wow.
I worked with a jewelry designer and designed it because I had the marquee and one round stone and all I could come up with was an exclamation point. If you put them on one ring. So anyway, and then I had to add other things to it because it just didn't work any other way. So the yellow canary diamonds and the white diamonds. And then the other thing was when my father did come through, he said, according to her, that she said, it's somebody in your family, it's not you, and it's Jay, took things that your father had made, or accolades of your father, something to do with your father's history, and he has framed them and made them into a piece of art. And your father is deeply moved by that.
Wow. What's the...
I've got a couple of things of his.
Was that is the atom bomb?
No, this is the other one.
But is that her dad?
Atom bomb? No,
dad is Reed, the sound Bill Reed. He's the one who applied...
Recordings.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Records. We talked about that.
And I have the letter from...
and you got in a cab with the son of the guy who basically
Harvard.
Just took...
Yeah,
you just missed that patent, right?
And he was at my party, the grandson. Of the guy.
Are you fucking serious?
No, yeah. He was. It's Laurie Young's husband.
Was that he was?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you want to mark that? Do you care that that name's out there?
No, I just don't know that the world knows that. Just,
whatever. Oh, that was the guy?
Whose grandfather.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the guy who was working like.
He was. That.
And then they met later?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's crazy.
So what did you take and frame?
I took these old records that he had made, you know, when he used to record in his studio. They're like super thick, heavy, giant
glass,
records.
Aren't
they're
they?
Plastic. They're
I thought they were before plastic.
I don't think so. They break. One of them broke.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're glass.
I don't know. I used to watch the turntable, you know, and the needle would be cutting and then you'd get like this hair.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. I have vague memories because I was really little, but... Somebody would be sitting at a mic
and
like we are
that?
Now. He had a small studio in our house in Revere for a while.
Okay, yeah.
And but he used to rent a space probably like this in Medford, which Jerry Reed told me before he was married. I didn't ever know that.
Wow.
But that's kind of where the mayor's recordings and stuff
came
from.
These were like political records. So I have three of those, and they had these...
They're like LPs.
Sick, beautiful. Like, you know, the sleeves a record comes in, not just the paper one that goes inside the thing. So and it says like audio disc in this like beautiful red, and the font is like, you know, back in the day, there was such a limited amount of font. They were all so gorgeous, you know? So.
And the label on each record.
Reed Recordings.
Says Reed Recordings.
That's because great. That was his last name, and which is why on my album... On the front of it, there's like, you know, a neighborhood scene, and then one of them says Reed Recordings, like a little studio, like in honor of him. So there's the three records, and then I also have a letter written to him when he retired from the guy. His boss wrote a letter because he couldn't come to the retirement party, and I frame that, and I have that up.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
And then I have like old reels of film up. I have a bunch, anything I can get my hands on that was his or my other grandfather's, I have up.
So that came out of the blue. In that reading. And then the other thing, which is kind of not comedic, but I had a cousin who was about 12 years older than me. And she killed her husband and killed herself and left four kids. And I think of her all the time. And she came through.
Oh, I don't think you told me that.
I think I did, but you probably forgot that part. Maybe I didn't tell you.
I don't know.
Because I didn't want to be a downer. But anyway, she said, Nancy's here. And
she knew her name?
Yep. She did. She said, I'm seeing Nancy. Nancy? I said, yeah. And she said...
And you tried? Did you try to keep it just to yeses and so you didn't tip too
right,
much?
Exactly.
Good for you.
All right, hold up, man.
Because a lot of people get excited.
She asked...
Oh, my God, she's my
she
cousin.
Said
you
that
know, they'll
too.
Do that.
She said, you know, just say yes or no. Don't give me any more.
I was going to say Nancy or Gary. But...
And
you watch a lot of Nancy Grace.
She said, Nancy, want you to know she's fine. And she said, and there's somebody with her. Danny? And I thought, oh, my God, who is her son, who also is passed away. And she said he's here with his mother. And
she got that?
She got that.
Wow.
Yeah.
And she did her research before you showed up, boy. No, that's amazing. But then you said that dad showed up, my dad.
Yes.
That's what you told me. Were you making that up just to try to ease pain?
No.
What did he say?
So in his life he doesn't, but in his afterlife, he's ever present.
Oh, man, he's been there the whole time. And now if her birthday was earlier, he never would have showed up.
No. Oh, that is something.
And what did he say?
Yeah, no, he did. He did. According to her, he showed up.
How much harder it is to find somebody from the afterlife when you live two cul-de-sacs
over. Oh, my God. That is so funny. That is so funny.
Oh, dude. My gosh. And is this at the end? Is he like the last of the people showing up?
Yeah. 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 Yeah, no, it was very cool. And she said, are you widowed? Are you divorced? I feel like this person was close to you, but wasn't at the end. And I said, that's correct. And she said, well, I think it's your former husband. And she said he
wants to know how much you want for that ring.
And she said he just wants you to know this. I wasn't too sure of. He wants you to know that he's always thought highly of you and still loves you.
You told me he said.
He said.
Man, maybe the Delta flight really did it. You said that he said that he was sorry and that you guys probably would have been better off just being friends.
That's right.
That's what you
That's
told
right.
me.
That's right. Yeah. And I forgot.
It's not a nice thing to say. That discounts four kids. If you're just friends, unless you
no.
Had
but
to.
I think he's saying like you know we
instead of partners.
We tried to be something that we shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
But I mean, if we have you back on in like 5 years from now, I'd be like, well, he said that he thinks of you all the time, and he's got a place ready for you and
ready for you.
No, it was really very, very interesting. Very interesting. I you know. I think there's something to it.
I mean, you love that stuff. And I love that stuff, too. Me, too. Yeah.
But I'm also the biggest skeptic of it as well. I'm a 50-50. When they nail things like the Nancy and is it Danny?
Yeah.
When they nail things like that, I'm blown away.
That's right.
But I've also been to enough of these that they often will do something with a dead person and a piece of jewelry or a memento. Like, that's pretty standard for every single person who's ever lost someone.
Exactly.
It's almost what do I have of theirs that I can wear or keep? But I've also been to some that have blown me away, too. And I feel you on that.
You told me that the tarot reader had asked, she said, do you cook? And you were like, well, sometimes. She goes, what about undercook? And you're like, yeah, all the time.
I don't cook. I brown.
I brown all my foods. See that scallop? Looks cooked, right?
Get inside here.
Wait till you dig inside.
Wait till you get inside.
Still alive.
No, I know there was a woman. I was a little kid in Revere, and it was Margaret Lepo's aunt who apparently had unbelievable psychic powers, and people used to pay her, and they would come from Boston. When they were playing the clubs in Boston, they'd get a limo out to Revere and all go to her. And this group of women, they were girls then, that they were a close group of friends, and now they were in their early 20s. They used to go periodically. And this night, she had the five of them around the table, and she had read about one or two of them, and she said, girls, I'm going to give you your money back. I have a terrible headache. You got to go home. So they were disappointed, and as they're leaving, she pulled the last one back, and she said, watch out for this one. One of the other friends in the group
pulled the one back and said, like, watch out
for
meaning
her.
She's shady or something's going to happen to her.
She said, in 2 days, she's going to need all of your support. They were about 21, 22
Whoa.
Years old. And 2 days later, that woman's husband was killed in a car accident.
Whoa. Ooh, that gave me chills.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? That's the worst. She should have said, not watch out for her, but like, hey, get her whole family and get them in a room and shut it down for
no,
like a week.
But
she
see,
might not have known what that thing
she wasn't
was.
That good.
No, but see, they also, and I could be wrong,
you're
listeners,
wrong about what Dad says. So.
Listeners, if I'm wrong, you can let the boys know. But I believe they feel that they can't interfere with fate.
Yeah.
They
like
might be able to see it.
Like, hey, man, that elephant's going down. There's a pack of lions, and then we're not giving it a heads up.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, they might see what's happening,
like
but
that.
They don't interfere.
I like that.
That's like hands off.
They're
to
just
them.
A medium. They're not. They're not here to alter.
Yeah, because a lot of them are very religious. A lot of these people are very religious.
Well, or spiritual.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had just written down here, were there other times that you had undercooked food that people brought up?
Never. Never in my life, except for you
what
two
do you,
clowns.
What do you...
Good for you.
What do you think... Have your water. I don't want you to spit take. What do you think is your best dish that you cook? Besides your scallops and meatballs.
Alma's Delights.
What is that? Is that a dessert?
Mm-hmm.
Is
it? My nanny used to make it.
Mm. My mother concocted the recipe, and it's very time consuming.
They just from our past, concocted the recipe means, what do you think? No one Sue came out of a book.
Transcribed it off a recipe.
No, she apparently there was a bakery. Now, I mean, I'm 70. My mother, if she was alive, would be, I don't know, 120. I haven't done the math, but something like that.
Yeah.
And so this is going back to when she was a kid. So we're going way back. There was a bakery in Revere, O'Sullivan's Bakery. And my mother said they used to make these wonderful tarts that she could remember, but didn't know how they were made. And I think now what I've learned, I think it's very much like in England, there's a lot of custard tarts. I think it's on that idea. But my mother, in her recreation of them, they're individual tarts or pie crust shells. And then you make whipped cream and French boiled cream.
You make it.
Make.
Right.
Whipped cream and you make French boiled cream. And then you combine them. And then you layer it with apricot preserves.
Mm.
And man, they are to die for.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah.
Even fully cooked.
Yeah, you got to fully cook, though.
I mean, that's you think that's your best dish?
Well, in the dessert category.
You used to do a great baked stuffed shrimp, which used to be my favorite.
Oh, that yeah.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Lemon, like the lemon juice. That,
yep.
Because Auntie Lil used to make hers, and I'll be straight up. Auntie Lil's, you know, I made, didn't I give it to you, Auntie Lil's shrimp dip?
I don't. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't know if you.
Where'd you have it?
You made it.
Yeah, I know, but what was it? Because I remember specifically.
I've had that. I feel like maybe you brought some here that day, or we talked about it on the podcast, and then people hit you up about it, but I've had that.
I serve it with straight up. I made it over the holidays.
The kind you put on like crackers.
You serve it with straight up Ritz because that's how my Aunt Lil served it. Yeah. I'm not. Hey, wonderful. You know, we're all fancy now.
But. And remember Mother Ginger's dip?
Yeah, but that was just like a French onion dip.
No, it wasn't.
What was it?
It was cream cheese with pineapple.
That's right.
And scallions and green pepper.
And something else because it wasn't. White looking, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember it that well. I just remember like when Auntie Lil would show up getting that damn shrimp dip.
Yeah.
And then, because after we had you on the first time, I started making that again over the holidays. And like anytime someone had, Adam came out for Christmas and I made it and he was just like, oh my God, dude, this is.
See, I like to cook for holidays too.
Yeah.
Like if I can get real blue crab meat, not farmed in the Philippines and not the shit they get out here because it's fishier, then. The crab cake I make is the same recipe as the Baltimore one.
Which it's just like Sue's? Her crab cake?
It's awesome. Those are, we call those, what do we call those? Hush puppies, where I come from. Like Arthur Treacher's hush puppies or Long John Silver's. That's what it is. But my grandmother had this book from, there's still a great historic little Italy in Baltimore. They've preserved it. They have bocce courts. They do summer movies. It's fantastic. Church is still, they still do two, I think it's two festivals a year.
St. Anthony's, probably.
Yeah, this one's like St. Gennaro or St. Gennaro Festival or something like that. San Gennaro, is that it?
Well, that's Saint in Italian.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
And then you get bingo down in the basement of the church and they'll let you bring your beer in and stuff. Outsider. But she's got a book from that all these people over the years have just contributed a recipe to, and they've bound it, and it's the Sons of Little Italy in a certain chapter. So each year,
I
go through like
I have Auntie Rue's Don something
Don Orion Home,
right? Yeah. And it's all like families from over the years that have contributed, and they just put them together.
Yeah, not as nice as what you're talking about.
And it'll tribute to it. It'll be like this is nice. Sue Larson's meatballs.
Yep.
You know what I mean? The recipe. Yep. It'll like just roll them up and just hand them out. Breathe on them and then serve.
Directions. None. Serve at room temp.
But I go through. You're a great sport, Sue. So. I go through each year and pick out like a something I can make, you know, like a. And it's got everything from appetizers to desserts to everything. But I like the stuffed shells, baked rigatoni, things like that. I'll pick something each year and make something out of that.
Yeah.
Because every year for our holidays was always, and I've said this a million times, but everyone was Italian. So it didn't matter whether we went to my grandmom's or my great aunt's or wherever we were, there was always the traditional ham, turkey, whatever. And then. A ton of Italian food.
Right,
so it wasn't
right.
Until I started dating in high school where I would, you know, after my dad and everyone died, I was like, well, I'm just going to go to my girlfriend's Thanksgiving. And they had all kinds of different shit. And I was like, well, where's the lasagna and the, you know, and they were like, what are you talking about? I'm like, the baked ziti. And that's when I realized, oh, that's just our family.
Yeah,
they make a homemade sauce like soup.
Yes. Pretty.
Because we always had at least one pasta dish, but it wasn't like Rye had it. I mean, we were Italian because they were Spinelli's, but Rye's was like very Italian.
Like you could come to our or their home.
What was the last name?
DeMemo, DeVito, Kumbati. But you could go to any of their homes and not eat any of the traditional food and just have an Italian meal, you know?
Well, my Aunt Margaret, one of my mother's older brothers, he's a Spinelli.
Who?
Eddie Spinelli. His wife, Margaret, was from the old world Italians. Her parents came from Italy.
That's my grandma.
And they had a farm in Revere. Because this aunt, in fact, I think it was her 75th birthday party, we had a pig roast. And she was telling me how when she was a kid, and this would be 150 years ago by now, I guess, Each year they'd kill one pig, and how they would use the whole pig. She used to tell me about preparing the pig. But what she used to do on Christmas Eve was the seven fishes.
Yeah.
The true Italian.
You ever done that?
Seven courses.
Yeah. Oh, really?
They're all fish courses.
All fish.
I mean, we always heard of that. I've never done it.
No, I've never around
it. Did it last year.
You did?
Yeah, but I didn't do a traditional. We just picked seven fish, like shrimp, fish, crab.
Fish sticks.
We end up with lobster, baked stuffed lobster.
Lobster, mussels, calamari. Like, I don't go, traditional seven.
Now, how do you do your scallops? You cook them all the way through, or you just kind of go halfway?
I like them all the way through, yeah.
I have never cooked raw scallops.
That's not what Adam says.
Well, Adam, what does he know?
I don't know. Seems to know a lot. He's glad you're cooking.
No.
Well, let's ask him.
Adam!
Like I said, they're like some pan seared for 10 seconds.
Well, we had talked a little bit about, Halloween is tomorrow. We're recording this early. But you used to make all of our costumes, and you said maybe there were some interesting stories from there that you thought would be fun.
Well, I didn't know what. I'll give you guys the ball.
Most of our guests come prepared with stories. Sue really.
You're concussed. How
did you find the time?
Yeah, that's what I want.
There were four of us.
No,
and I'm telling you, if I showed you a picture of us at Halloween, what we went out as when we went out as like Wizard of Oz, I was the Scarecrow. Adam was the Tin Man. Courtney was
Adam was the Lion.
Adam was the Lion. Courtney was the Scarecrow, and Kristen was
Courtney was Judy Garland.
Right,
the
Dorothy, because she was always your favorite, and then Kristen.
No. Was the Tin Man.
No.
Yes?
Kristen. Oh, yes. Okay. And, I'm telling you, the costumes, you would look like it was a production of a theater.
I have no doubt about it.
But they really were
beautiful.
When
were you making those?
Yeah, and were you driven by... That sounds passion, because most people would just throw shit together. But you probably loved doing it. But
it
also, who the hell can afford four costumes for four kids?
I think she also
parent.
Wanted to prove to people that she was a good mom.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was maybe part of it. But I think another part of it was in the era when I had been doing costumes for Boston Ballet and was very much into it. And there were two other women and I, and we were tossing around the idea of having a costuming business. And so I was kind of challenging myself to say, okay, what can you come up with? And then... to get the word out, because everybody in Stoneham used to know your costumes, you guys. A whole reputation developed because they were gorgeous. Like his Scarecrow, and you do have it.
Do you have pictures of this stuff?
I do.
I mean,
Throwback Thursday, that stuff.
Yeah. The Scarecrow, the whole top was patchwork velvets and satins.
Wow.
In different colors. Oh, it was so beautiful. And then the rough.
Would it fit your kids now?
Well, that's why I sent it to you. I thought it could have fit Reed.
Well, you still have the costume, too, not just the photos? Oh, man.
I mean, you say that you sent that, and it sounds vaguely familiar. I just don't know if that's true.
Because I sent it a long time ago, figuring if he gets much older, it won't fit him. Because you were four, I think.
I think I remember asking Reed, what do you want to go for Halloween? He said, I want to go as Batman. I go, what about this dusty old skin? What about this?
But, do you remember... on your shoulder? Do you remember what you had?
Did you put a bird on there?
My friend Sue Micklem.
That was a real cockatoo, eh?
Who was really, really... No, that was the fortune teller. My friend Sue Micklem was into...
I remember that name.
All sorts of creative things, and she soft sculptured a crow out of black file with diamond eyes... and used wire for the legs and covered it with felt, and we sewed him to the Scarecrow's shoulder. I mean, he was awesome. Had the crow.
That sounds awesome.
And Adam's lion head was spectacular. The head for him was amazing. And was a variation on Dorothy. It wasn't exactly the way Dorothy was, but it was... just
the
an
costume
artistic.
Looked exactly like with that pale blue and the white.
Yeah, and the white.
The red shoes.
And then Kristen, the Tin Man, we used foam to round it out.
It was a rounded, pointed hat, face painted perfectly silver.
Painted her face with silver eyeshadow. and the sleeves.
She broke up and has a skin disease since. But I'll tell you, man, she looked amazing.
The arms and the legs were concentric circles like donuts, if you think of a donut shape. And we stitched them so that they went like this. So you'd stitch the outer edges together on one and then the inner edges. So it looked like pleated, you know, when you're putting in duct work, how they have that pleated stuff. And it was all out of silver satin and silver lamé. So it was fabulous. They really were fabulous.
Hands down, my favorite thing that we did at Halloween, which I'm doing tomorrow, no question, was we get home from, first of all, there'd usually be a fire going, you know, in the fireplace. But you remember, she would heat up apple cider and have regular old-fashioned donuts toasted. Just cooked them the sandwich. But you come home, man, and they'd be toasted, like, just warm, or, you know.
Put them in the oven.
Cake donuts. You know, she didn't make the cake. She bought the cake donuts and then heated them up.
Right.
And then you have that with hot apple cider after being out trick-or-treating.
Awesome.
Oh, it was the best.
But see, yeah, it's cold back east, though.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
But it still feels good.
It'll be cold here at night. Yeah. Yeah, it definitely will. It'll be in the, probably in the 50s.
Yeah.
I saw my breath the other night for the first time this year.
Yeah.
Wow.
We never had Halloweens like that. We had, we were full of, like, my grandmom had a bunch of wigs and smocks and things like that. I went as a girl for Halloween probably two or three times. My dad had to be like, what the fuck are you kids doing? I cross-dressed a few times. And then we would just get, like, a cheap Kmart Halloween, you know, the fire flammable costume. It was a plastic mask with some fake hair and just had a rubber band in the back. It wasn't even a full head. It was just this face a plastic vinyl, whatever, suit.
One size fits all.
Yeah, and I was Ace Frehley from Kiss. But again, when you got that, you were that for a couple of years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you ain't getting another guy. You still fitting that? You're going as Ace Frehley again.
We went to Star Wars once.
Yep.
Courtney was C-3PO.
You made all those, too?
No. Courtney was Princess Leia. She always got like the lead female.
And Luke Skywalker.
Because
how did you cast it? What was the casting process?
Was she Thelma or was she Louise? Let's be honest.
Because Kristen was the oldest, so she was taller.
Mm-hmm.
So there was always the Chewbacca or, or the Tin Man, who's got to be bigger than the others.
Kristen was Chewbacca?
No, I think she was C-3PO. And that year we used gold eyeshadow on her face. Yes.
I was R2-D2.
And he was R2-D2, and it was hysterical. He didn't like the costume very much, and I don't blame him.
Trying to do something what everybody else was wearing.
Because you were like three for this. And I remember going to the library Halloween party, and you were, I don't want to wear that hat. And I said, just walk in with it on, and then we'll take it off. So this was kind of an inexpensive costume. It was cardboard. So I made a big cardboard tube with straps so that it hung on his shoulders and made that look like the front of R2. And then for the round part, for the head, I took up the biggest plastic salad bowl or mixing bowl you can find, white, and punched holes in it in the bottom so that I could put an elastic through, and he wore it upside down, and it came right and met the cardboard, and I cut little slits so he could see out of it, and that was the R2-D2.
It sounds like it looked amazing.
You got to have pictures of this.
And then his arms were in the tube so that when he walked, he looked like he was rolling around.
I can't believe I didn't want to wear that. Couldn't use my hands.
Flap on the front, please.
It had a little thing with
the little.
But that it was always fun. And then there was Red Riding Hood.
I don't remember that.
Oh, you looked great.
Who was I?
The hunter.
Oh yeah.
And Adam was the wolf.
Kristen was a tree.
No, Kristen was too old. She didn't want to go out with you kids at this point.
Oh yeah. But Courtney was Little Red Riding Hood.
Red Riding Hood. And what a beautiful costume she had. It was beautiful.
Yeah. Well, how could she not look beautiful?
And Adam was a fabulous wolf. He looked amazing. And he was the hunter. So I took dark green velvet pants. I made the pants, but they were regular pants. Then I cut them to make them knickers. You know what knickers are?
I do.
And then I got Argyle socks, men's Argyle socks, so they came up above his knees. Mm-hmm. So he wore those. And you had high top, like a boot, brown leather shoes. So it was perfect. And the jacket, I made the jacket with elastic at the waist. And then I found a plaid, like a woodsman's hat. So then I got more of the same plaid and piped the jacket with the plaid and made plaid buttons and plaid cuffs. You know. And he had a toy rifle. So he carried his rifle with him.
That sounds awesome.
And the little blonde curls were peeking out from behind
those
his
Quaker
cap.
Oak curls.
You know what I'm saying?
I just saw that picture again the other day, dude. It made me laugh.
Which one?
The one you posted a while ago. It's like you as a little boy. You look like the Quaker Oats kid.
Yeah, you made a lot of amazing costumes.
Yeah, they were a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Hard work, but fun.
Mm-hmm. So we were talking about costumes, and you and I had been talking before about a musical that you were in. First of all, I didn't even know you were in musicals.
Yes, I was.
Like, you performed?
I'm not saying I don't believe you. I'm just saying I don't think that's something that ever came up. You were doing musicals in college?
Yeah.
Were you singing?
Yeah, I was in the chorus, dancing and singing.
You were dancing, too?
You want one?
Yes.
Yeah, take it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved it. I loved it.
This is Delta. This woman has gotten up now. You just heard her crack her fifth Bud Light. We're going to be keeping an eye on her on her exit.
I know. I never knew you did musicals.
Oh, yeah.
Dance.
Well, when I started in music school... In the fall, they always had a variety show.
What did you think you were going to do after college?
I didn't know. I just knew I loved music.
Yeah.
But I didn't really want to be a music teacher. I knew that. But I figured something will bail me out, so I won't have to make that decision.
Turned out she was wrong.
Somebody will bail on you.
Well, see, the thing is, like, now...
Better off being friends.
Yeah, this is dope.
Yeah, we just wanted to say that. We talked to Derek Arreeder. We just flew high enough to reach the afterlife. Sounds like he was just fine being friends. Get someone go back and check on that woman. We took off without... She's still out.
There are a lot of variations on music now in an academic setting, yeah. Like music therapy is a big one.
Really?
And I think that would interest me a lot.
That would interest me.
Yeah. And
would you... You mean teaching it or being a student?
No. She's saying like she would... Study it so that she could practice it.
Could be a music therapist. That wasn't an option. That was just starting to be something. Like there was one college in Massachusetts that offered that by about the time I was a junior in college. So you were either, if you were in music, you were either going to perform it or you were going to teach it. That's it. Now, in the broader...
If you're performing over here, teach it over there. Everybody else, get back to class.
Of course, there were always
musicologists
and things like that. So, yes, there were more people doing that. But in the world that I was growing up
got it.
You know.
Did you not think there was any potential for you to do it as a living to perform it?
No, I couldn't see myself as a concert pianist.
Or singer or dancer or these other mythical things that may have happened or may not have
happened? They were not mythical.
Well, I'm just saying. No, there was no capacity in that. You didn't see that at all?
Well, I grew up in a family. I had a lot of cousins that were all musical.
Everyone was.
Everyone.
Yeah.
And
like you would go to my Uncle John's, and he had a piano and an organ in that big room. Remember that?
Yep.
I only remember that.
And there was
that
a drum set in there. And
I mean, like holidays, would you all play and sit around?
Not just holidays. Anytime you were
good.
At that house, music was happening nonstop.
Yeah. And you got to remember, they weren't that far removed from the time before television and radio. People had musical instruments, and that's what they did to entertain themselves.
This is the Spinelli side. So this is my Nana's side, the Spinelli.
Auntie Rue and all that side. Okay.
So they're Auntie Rue, Auntie Gert, my Nana, they're brothers. Uncle Ray, he moved to San Diego to try to be a radio DJ, like
comedian. He wanted to, like, right?
Yep.
I mean, he kind of like came out later. And then John was an organist and made his living
that way.
He was
a musician all his life.
And then he had a son that was a musician his whole life. Like, there's a lot of music.
Lindy and Nancy Ruth sang everywhere. Yep. Patricia sang.
Yeah.
So there was a lot. And in my family, it's interesting thinking back now, I was the first female to finish college of my generation.
Well, Auntie Rue finished.
Auntie Rue finished. But of my generation, and there was a lot of women, I was the first one. But the boys, John and Eddie, when they finished high school, they went to prep school for a year so they could get into great schools.
Yeah.
BU and Tufts. One became a dentist and the other became a musician.
Uncle Eddie was, he was the dentist that used to fill my cavity with no Novocaine.
Oh.
So I grew up with all of this excellence in music, and it was my high school choral director who one day I was in his office for something. I was a junior, beginning of junior year, and he said, "You are thinking of going into music, aren't you?" And I was floored that somebody thought I was good enough that I could do that.
I thought I was going to be a secretary.
Because I never was hearing this in the family, you know? So I went home and I said to my mother, "Mr. Goss thinks I should go into school for music." She said, "Okay." That was it. And then she said, "Music education, that way you'll always have a job." So I thought, okay. And so when we started our curriculum, which back then you learned how to do everything. We learned, I know how to make patterns for marching bands on a football field.
Wow. Do you really?
Yeah, because you had to learn all of this in case they sent you to Alaska and you were the only music person for all the kids in the world. You taught all grade levels, instrumental.
That means you played every instrument.
Yeah, we had to play one in each family in school and be able to teach on a basic level. Or know if somebody was doing the wrong thing when they were playing for a whole high school band or something. Now, you specific. You either go voice and piano or you go instrumental, and then it gets down between orchestral or band, and it's much more specific now. But anyway, they gave us the whole shitload. And so...
Susan, wow. Getting fired up at the end of the podcast.
So... we had all of our music classes, freshman and sophomore year, theory, harmony, composition, all of that. I thought this was the greatest thing since sliced bread. I had never done any of this stuff. And I loved it. And I thought, this is terrific. So, of course, I was going to try out for everything that came down the pike. So in the fall, there was a variety show. And in the spring was a musical. And I tried out for the musical and got in it. So, and it was not a very well-known musical. It was The Golden Apple. Hmm. But it was a fabulous, fabulous show. So getting back to the costumes, I was in the chorus. I wasn't a lead in that one. And then the next year we did Three Penny Opera, Kurt Weill's.
Anyway. Check this out.
You know,
hey, Kurt Weill! Get all Three Pennies in there,
man. We love Three Pennies. Man, well, did you ever see...
Now, you have connections to the afterlife then, huh?
Yeah, well, we got our tarot reader. I don't know Three Pennies, but Three Penny Opera. Four Quarters was amazing.
Amazing.
Where was halftime in the Four Quarters?
Right after the second quarter.
Right. So anyway...
You're in the chorus.
I was in the chorus, and we had a few costume changes. So there was one particular number where we didn't have a long time to change. And they had told us, there's a room underneath the stage. Go and preset, which is what you call when you've got a costume change. You bring everything you're going to need and you lay it out like in the order you're going to put them on. And just drop the other costume when you got to go fast. Preset the dance clothes down in the room under the stage. Okay, that's what we're going to do. Now, for the women, which was the women that were using this room, it even meant changing your bra because of the costumes. So you're changing everything down there. So I come down the night of the show, and nobody's clothes are down there. I said, oh, I must be the first one to bring my stuff down. So I put it there, and that's fine. Now we get to opening night. Well, they changed where we were supposed to change our clothes because the guys needed this as a pass-through. So I had totally stripped down to just stockings. And here came all the country bumpkins with their pitchforks and their straw hats and everything else running through. I was mortified. Now, the kick to that story is one of the guys, actually two of them, used to serve in the cafeteria line for the dorm residents. And on Wednesday night, we'd have chicken.
And meatballs.
No meatballs. But from then on, Dave Lilas would always say, leg or breast?
Oh, my God.
When he'd give me
God.
The chicken.
Oh, man. He never let you live that down.
Never let me live that down.
Like, get back to work.
Oh, my God.
And in
God.
Today's world, you know, it's so different than what would be today.
Yeah.
You'd never get away with that today.
Well, yeah. Amazing. Well, I think that's where
this
we're
has
at.
Been
so.
A
that's where
fan
you're gonna end it on leg or breast.
Leg or breast. Perfect.
At least we stepped away from meatballs.
This has been a fantastic episode. You have been a fantastic guest. You've been a fantastic host. I can't thank you enough.
Decent cook.
At best. I can't thank you enough for all your hospitality, for joining us for the show in Boston again. I know we've already talked about it, but it was really a pleasure to have you there. I was excited when we, and this is no lie, like when we introduced you on stage that night and just threw a shout out to you in the audience, that the applause was way more than when we walked out to start the show.
Of course, yeah.
It was really a pleasure.
And I hadn't papered the audience either.
No, I know you didn't.
And so. I just wish you were able to appreciate it and really take it in and not be so shy as you were.
Well, I'm glad you got to be a part of this. This has been...
Well, thank you.
And again, man. Honestly, if we're being, you know, getting deep on this, there is no Crab Feast without you. So thank you very much.
Well,
thank you very much.
Well, I think...
Not a concussion. That's all on Delta. And you should absolutely email them.
I also want to say that it's been a pleasure working with both of you. I love both of you guys.
Work... That's why I love
Listen,
you.
We're not rapping set here.
I'm going to go ahead and 1099 you after this.
And I think you're two very talented guys, and I wish you both the best.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you so much.
Always
Thank
a pleasure you. To have you. Be sure to say some kind words to her on Facebook. She's on there quite often.
Shoot her your pics of your meatballs, guys.
Always. And as always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy on all social media.
RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next Tuesday.